Philo Torah Zoom Shiur for Wednesday, Yom Revi'i, Wednesday, the 28th day of Nisan, 5786, corresponding to the April 15th, tax deadline. They still have it, April 15th. My father was an accountant, and whenever Pesach was before April 15th, you could see it. And when it was after April 15th, you could also see the difference. Okay. Share. Share. Tehillim Kuf Nun. Hallelujah, hallelujah, El Bekodsho, hallelujah, Birkia Uzo. Hallelujah, Begvurotav, hallelujah, Karov, Gudlo, hallelujah, Beteka Shofar,
hallelujah,
Rivel Bechinor, hallelujah, Betof, Umachol, hallelujah, Beminim, Vugav, hallelujah, Betzulzale Shama, hallelujah, Betzulzale Trua, Kol Hanishama, Tahalelujah, hallelujah. David.
Adonai Yishmar Tzeitzcha V'Lecha Me'ata V'Yad Olam.
Kuf Lamed, Shir HaMa'alot Mima Ma'akim Kraticha Adonai. Adonai Shema V'Koli Tihyena Oznecha Kashuvot L'Kol Tachanunai. Im Avonot Tishmarya Adonai Mia Amod Ki Imecha Haslicha L'Ma'an Tivarei. Kiviti Adonai Kivita Nafshi V'Lidvaro Hochalti. Nafshi ladonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, kim Adonai hachesed varbeimo fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael mi kol avonotav. Mark.
Mi sheberach avosinu Abraham Yitzhak Yaakov. Hu yivareth es chayalei tzeva hagana liYisrael v'esanchei kochot habitachon ha'omedim al mishmar arfinu v'arei Eloheinu v'alochamim ba'adenu min halavanon v'abidbar mitzrayim min hayam hagadol ad mevo harava uv'chol makom shehem v'yavasha v'avir v'yam yitein Adonai es oyevinu hakamim aleinu nigafim lifneihem hakadosh baruch hu yishmor v'yatzil es chayalinu mikol tzara v'tzuka mikol nega machala v'yizlach barachah v'hasacha v'chol ma'aseh yedeihem Yadber son inu tachtehem, vi aterim befesher yitlechesser Yeshua, uva ateres yitachon, yikuyam bahem hakasuv, ki Adonai Elohechem, haolech imachem lehilachem lachem imo yevechem laoshia asem, benomar, amen.
Amen. Together, Achenu kol beit Yisrael, hanetunim batzara uvashivya, ba'omedim ebein bayam, ebein bayavasha uvein ba'avir, המקום ירחם עליהם ויוציאם מצרה לרווחה ומאפלה לאורה ומשיבוד לגאולה, השתה בעגלה ובזמן קריב ונאמר אמן. I heard an amazing clip that somebody sent me from whatever, all those things that go around the internet. This was from a Chiloni Israeli. I didn't catch his name. I didn't see his name there. But he was blasting the Chiloni community for attacking Haredim. True, there's a problem with army service, and he's not talking about that. But he says, as a Chiloni, I am telling everybody that the only thing that has kept Jews alive and Judaism alive is Yahadut, not democracy and not this and not that and not anti this and not anti that, Yahadut. He didn't say Torah and mitzvot, but that's what he was talking about. It was amazing to hear from a Chiloni. And he was not embarrassed to say I'm a Chiloni. He was there without a kippah, but it was a very charif, upset reaction to the way that certain other Chilonim call for dismissing this group and that group because they don't do that, because they don't do that, whatever. Anyway, just wanted to mention that. Okay, I want to go back to Tazria and Mitzora. I'll just mention, which I think was mentioned on Monday, happens to me by my bar mitzvah sedra, happens to be the bar mitzvah sedra that I was embarrassed with because of the difficulty in finding Divrei Torah for a 13-year-old boy. Luckily, in the time that I was 13, it wasn't that common that we gave Divrei Torah. I leaned the Haftorah from a klaf, so I had extra studying to do. And over the years, I've appreciated some of the things in Tazria Mitzora, but I remember being jealous of a friend who had Parshat Bishalach with Shirat Hayam and someone else with Yitro. And that was my eighth grade, going through all of the bar mitzvahs, the end of seventh and beginning of eighth grade. And anyway, that's beside the point. One thing I always enjoyed was the fact that professional Balei Kriya would tell me that Tazria Mitzora was probably the most difficult Seder to learn. The words Vira'ah HaKohen, and the Kohen shall see, talking about the blemishes and other afflictions of the skin, comes in eight different trup combinations. And I have this vivid memory of crying when my father sat me down to go over the sedra, and I would go, Vira'ah HaKohen. He would say, no, Vira'ah HaKohen, no, Vira'ah HaKohen. And then I would continue like that, and there would be eight different combinations and Vira'ahu HaKohen, and a bunch of he's and who's that you got mixed up on and everything like that. Okay, back to the opening, which has the pasuk, Uvayom Hashmini Yimol Bisar Orlato. On the eighth day of the birth of a baby boy, he is circumcised. Now, first, let me tell you what we learn from that wording, Uvayom Hashmini Yimol Bisar Orlato. We learn first that it is specifically daytime that a brit has to take place, not nighttime. Now, this is something that I've spoken about many times, but I have to generalize. Uvayom Hashmini does not necessarily have to mean the daytime of the eighth day. It could mean the eighth day. In fact, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kaddisho is essentially Kiddush on Friday night and Havdalah et Motzoi Shabbat in davening and at the table. And that's not even daytime. So how do you know when the Torah says Bayom, it means daytime? And how do you know when Bayom just means 24-hour period of a day? And the answer to that, as the answer is to many of these questions, Torah Sheba'al Peh. The halacha in Torah Sheba'al Peh is a brit milah at night is not valid. It has to be during the daytime. I don't know exactly if that masoret, that transmission of oral law, included the pointing to Uvayom Hashmini. And notice when I'm saying it, I'm in not inflicting, what do you say? whatever. I'm purposely saying uvayom as opposed to Yom HaShabbat, whatever. I don't know where that connection was made. It could have been made by Chazal. They said, okay, we have the Torah in writing. It says, uvayom hashmini mol basar olato. We have the Gemara or the Masoret that says daytime, not nighttime. And somebody said, hey, let's make a connection and link the words uvayom hashmini to the halacha. Or it's part of the Masoret. I don't know which one. I definitely don't believe that Chazal said, what do we do with the Vayom Hashmini? Daytime, nighttime. You know what? It's usur to circumcise at night because it says Vayom Hashmini. I don't think Chazal took that upon themselves. I think it had to be a Masoret. The other thing we learned from it is that an eighth day circumcision pushes aside Shabbat because the Torah insists, Uvayom Hashmini mol basar orlato. The guideline here is that any time the Torah is date specific, usually that means Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon. Sometimes, like now, it means the eighth day from birth, but that means Afilu b'Shabbat, even if it's on Shabbat. Now, the little details that go along, a cesarean section does not get circumcised on Shabbat, even if that's his eighth day. Let's say a woman is having trouble with labor, and the doctors on Shabbat morning say, we're going to have to do a C-section. So they do it. The following Shabbat is the baby's eighth day, but he doesn't get circumcised on Shabbat because it didn't follow the exact sequence in the parsha of Isha, ki tazria v'yoledah zachor, when a woman gives birth, becomes pregnant and gives birth to a boy. Vitam'a shivat yamim, she becomes tameya for 7 days. Uvayom hashmini imol basar orlato. A cesarean section delivery does not make the woman tameya, and therefore it doesn't fit the exact sequence in the beginning of Parsha Tazria, and that doesn't push aside Shabbat. A brit that was postponed because of a baby was jaundiced, yellow. And he's being circumcised on the ninth day or the 10th or the 20th day, does not push aside Shabbat because the Torah specifically says, O Vayom Hashmini. And these are things that combine Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh into the halacha. Now, there's another issue that I wanted to review, and that is, it's easy to say if you look in Sefer Achinuch, you will not find the mitzvah of Brit Milah in Parshat Tazria, even though it says, Uvayom hashmini imol basar orlato. Dabero b'nei Yisrael lemor, speak to the people of Israel and tell them they have to circumcise babies on the eighth day. However, if you flip all the way back towards the beginning of Sefer Achinuch, you will find it there in Parshat Lech Lecha, where the Torah said, Himol lachem kol zachar, God talking to Avraham Avinu, and that's where the Sefer Achinuch counts the mitzvah of Lech Lecha. But you shouldn't you have to understand, you shouldn't think that that's ironclad. Another mitzvah counter can say, mitzvah to circumcise a baby boy on the eighth day, shene'emar, and quote the pasuk in Tazria, uvayom hashmini mol basar olato. There is no rule that says when a mitzvah is presented twice, you have to count it the first time it's presented. And the logic in this particular case would go for counting from Tazria, because that's after Matan Torah. The story with Avraham Avinu was before Matan Torah. And that does not, that tells us a story and it tells us lessons and we learn from it. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we would count a mitzvah from back then. When it came to Gid Hanasheh, we had no choice but to count it from Parshat Vayeshev, Vayishlach. We had no choice but to count it from Vayishlach because it's the only place in the Torah that talks about Gid Hanasheh. But Brit Milah would be a could make a good case for saying let's count it where the Torah has already been given and Moshe is teaching the people, and he says God says to him, "Daber el bnei Yisrael lemor," and command them. So there's a different reason why it's counted from Lech Lecha, and this we've gone over in the past, and that's the difference between Brit and Milah. We call the whole thing Brit Milah, but Brit alone has one connotation, and Milah has a different connotation. Milah is the
Still
actual
being
surgical
transformed,
removal.
right? And AI is almost on.
The surgical removal of the foreskin of the baby. It takes 30 seconds to a minute, depending on what else has to be done and how easy or not it's done, but it's done. That's Mila. That's Uvayom Hashmini Yimol Bisar Orlato. You look in Lech Lecha and you have the word Brit not only once, you have it 10 times in that portion of Brit Milah, of Avraham Avinu, talking not only about the Brit of Milah and that Milah is considered an oat Brit, a sign of the covenant, but the covenant includes God saying, I'm going to be the God for you, Avraham, and your descendants. I'm going to make a covenant that gives Eretz Canaan to you and your descendants. So it's a package deal. It's a covenant that we enter into with God in Parshat Lech Lecha, which involves all of Torah and Eretz Yisrael and the mitzvah of circumcision. But Yitzchak was not circumcised until beginning of Parshat Vayera, and Avraham was not at 8 days, he was at 99 years, and Yishmael was not at 8 days, he was at 13 years old, and all the male members of Avraham's household were circumcised at whatever age they were, and that, by the way, includes a baby of 5 days only, because the only ones that have the obligation of eighth day are the Jews. But Eved Kena'ani and their families in service of a Jewish master have to be circumcised at whatever age. The other thing, which I'll get back to what I'm working on now, but let me just jump to the other issue, and that is the unusual situation we have that at a Brit Milah, there are two brachot of mitzvah. We have examples of two brachot, like L'hadlik ner shel Chanukah and she'asa nisim l'avotenu. But that's not the same. Here we're talking about Asher kiddishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu. So the mohel, who is doing the actual milah for the father, for the father and mother, makes the bracha Asher kiddishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al hamilah. He begins the circumcision, and before he even completes it, the father immediately makes the second bracha, Asher kiddishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lahachniso bevrito shel Avraham Avinu, to enter him into the covenant of Avraham Avinu, which is that whole portion in Parshat Lech Lecha. Notice also, and this for some of you with good memories is just review, but others might not be aware of it. And that is the difference in the language of the ending of the bracha of a mitzvah. We just had Pesach, and at the Seder we said, Asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al achilat matzah, al achilat maror. A month earlier we had said, al mikra megillah. Sukkot, it's not al, it's leishev basukah, lishmoa kol shofar, al netilat lulav, al netilat yadayim, laasok bedivrei Torah, likboa mezuzah, lehafrish chala min ha'isa. Every single bracha of a mitzvah would have been an al, and then describing it, al achilat matzah, or it could have been leechol matzah. That's the command in the Torah, bo'erev tochlu matzot. In the evening of the 14th, you shall eat matzah. So this is not arbitrary. It's not a flip of a coin where one side says al and the other one says look. It's specific choice of Chazal. There are some machloket, but what we have is a definitive list of Birkot HaMitzvah with an al or a le, and those are not interchangeable. I can't decide. I would rather say le'echol matzah. Asher kedishanu b'mitzvah tzivanu le'echol matzah. That would be true, but it would be changing the format of a bracha, which we're not allowed to do. Same thing with the other kind. So Chazal, through the generations, tried to delineate what is an al bracha and what is a le bracha? Trying to second guess, because we don't have anything definitive on that. And there are a few different possibilities. As I've told you in the past, the one that I like best, the one that fits in most cases, is the difference between a mitzvah that you complete. You have the mitzvah to do something, you do it, and you're finished. Al achilat matzah. Chew, 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 swallow, chew, swallow, chew, swallow. Did I have enough? No. Another piece, chew, swallow. Kazayat, two kazaytim, whatever. Finished. Al mikra megillah. 38 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour and a half if you have a lot of pesky kids around. Not quite. It doesn't go that long. But it's done. When you put a mezuzah on your doorpost, it has to stay there. You do not stand by the doorpost holding the mezuzah to the doorpost. You glue it, you nail it, and it's there, but it has to stay there, which means you have inaugurated the mitzvah, you have put it into motion, but the mitzvah continues beyond your performance. That gets a le. Lehafrish chala min ha'isa. When you take chala, technically, it was supposed to be given to a kohen of your choice, and it didn't have to be done immediately. You have to separate chala if you have enough dough, separate chala, and then the rest of the dough you're allowed to bake and eat. If you don't separate chala, you can't eat the dough. But the giving to the Kohen is the continuation of the mitzvah. And therefore, it's not al hafrashat challah, but it's lehafrish challah. Lahadlik ner, shel Shabbat v'shel Yom Tov, it has to continue to burn beyond your act, into the night, during the meal, whatever. Lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, even more obvious because we have this concept of a half hour minimum after Tzeit HaKochavim, and those get le. When it comes to things like Lishmoa kol shofar, it's a little bit more challenging to fit it into it. I don't want to do that now, but it could be fit. At a brit, al hamila, chick, chak, it's done. Lehachniso bevrito shel Avraham Avinu is an ongoing project. It's raising the child as a Jew, and that's not done in 30 seconds, and it's not done in a day or a year. It's however long you have influence over your child, that's when you have to keep doing this mitzvah. It's an ongoing thing, and it gets a lehachniso bevrito shel Avraham Avinu. Let me ask you a question which could be embarrassing to me, and that is, how many of you remember this from past? Susan. Good. And not Mark? Oh, you two also. Okay. Anyone not realize this?
Sorry, I missed that question. How many of us what?
Knew this already, what I just said about the le and the al. In honor of Mrs. Ruth Silver, my eighth grade English teacher, the le makes an infinitive verb. And I'm sure she would be happy to hear me say that. And the al achilat matzah is a gerund noun, turning that verb into a noun of achila. Achilat is the eating of. So that's that. Now back to the counting of the mitzvot. You know that the tradition of 613 mitzvot exists without. One second. The tradition of 613 mitzvot exists without any definitive list in oral law, in the Gemara, in Mishnah or Gemara. It was a challenge that individuals took after the time of the Gemara, Gaonim, and then the Rishonim, until this very day, of saying, okay, we have a tradition of 613 mitzvot, let's list them. And the lists change. And where you quoted from changes. There is no rule, as I said before, that you have to count Brit Milah from Lech Lecha. You could have counted it. And there are some counters that count it from both. They'll say, mitzvah to circumcise, Shene Emar, Himolachem Kol Zachar, parentheses, Bereshit chapter, whatever. And they'll say, and... Uvayom Hashmini Mol Besar Alato, and they'll give you the Vayikra chapter 12. So there is no hard and fast rule. In the case of Brit specifically, it is so much more significant to point to the whole context of the story with Avraham Avinu than it is to take this very clinical statement to Vayom Hashmini Mol Besar Alato, the woman is Tameah for 7 days, 8 days, the kid is circumcised. Then she has Yemei Tahara, where she's still not allowed to go to the Beit HaMikdash for another 33 days. In the case of a girl, it's 14 days plus 66 days. And then she's Tahora, and she goes to Mikveh again, and brings korbanot and stuff like that. But it's a very clinical presentation of the topic. It doesn't present the emotional and spiritual context that we have in Parshat Lech Lecha. And that's why it's usually we point there. The specific repeat of it is... ends up teaching us additional things which we might not have there, because himolachem kol zachar, even though it mentions the eighth day, might not indicate day as opposed to night, might not indicate or be linked to the eighth day dafka, because there were other ages that a kid or in person was circumcised. I had the zechut many years ago of being a sandek for a kid who was being circumcised on the eighth day, and his father, who honored me with sandekaut, was circumcised at the age of 35 years. It was a Russian Jew who got his brit at age 35, and it was a very emotional thing because he saw an Avraham Avinu and a Yitzchak Avinu in the two of them. And that's the story with that. Comments, questions, moving right along. Want to revisit what we were talking about, Tzora'at. There's a Mishnah in Masechet Chagiga which tells us that mitzvot in the Torah come in three styles. You have first a mitzvah among 613 or halacha, whatever, that has no actual text in the written Torah. The example is Hatarat Nedarim. Hatarat Nedarim, the Torah in writing says if you make a pledge or promise, oath, or anything like that, you have to keep everything that comes out of your mouth. You can't get out of it. That's the impression from the Torah. Kechol hayotzei mipiv yaaseh, whatever comes out of your mouth, you shall do. And lo yachel divaro, you cannot profane your words by not doing what you said you would do. We know that there is such a thing as hatarat nedarim. There are conditions for hatarat nedarim, details of hatarat nedarim, which we don't have to go into now. But there is actually a halachic method of unbinding oneself from a neder, even though the written word in the Torah doesn't say that. We believe with total faith in the oral Torah, and the oral Torah presents Hatarat Nedarim as a counterpart to the mitzvah of Nedarim and keeping your word. And there is no text. There's one little limud. It says, Lo yachel divaro, you shall not profane your words, but someone else can remove that pledge from you. But that's not a source. That's just pointing to wording in a pasuk. And you know that the Tzedokim and Karaites and all those who reject Torah Sheba'al Peh take vows very, very seriously, even if they're ridiculous, even if they're exaggerated, even if they were said in anger. We have an interesting halacha that comes from the Mishnah. If you say a promise in anger, it's not valid. You don't even need Hatarat Nedarim. It's just not a vow. There are some vows that are also invalid, but Chazal said, do Hatarat Nedarim, because we don't want you to take these things too lightly. Tzedokim don't have that. If they say something, you have that famous example from Tanakh, not of a Tzedoki, but you have a situation where Yiftach HaGiladi made a promise to God to offer a sacrifice to God if he was successful in battle, that the first animal that came from his house, from his home, he would offer as a sacrifice. But he didn't say the first animal. He said the first to emerge from my home. And his daughter came out. And this is where, we shrug because it's certainly not halachic. He never meant that to be part of the pledge. You can't sacrifice your daughter. Child sacrifice is not permitted, to say the least. But he supposedly needed Hatarat Nedarim. He refused to go to the Kohen Gadol at the time for Hatarat Nedarim. The Kohen Gadol refused to come to him to do Hatarat Nedarim. And the Mefarshim argue or debate what actually happened, but it wasn't good. Now, halachically, that would be null and void. It wouldn't apply to her. And I never really understood ad hayom hazeh. I still don't understand why that should have presented a problem. But he was a high-ranking person, a shofet, and whatever, problem. But the other example is a Kohen Gadol who was a tzaddoki in the second Beit HaMikdash time, who the Sanhedrin made swear that he would follow faithfully the instructions of how to bring incense into Kodesh Kodashim, had to do with when it was put on the fire pan and produced the smoke inside or outside. And that made a big difference. And the Tzedokim disagreed with the Perushim. And they made the Kohen, who might have been a Tzedoki, swear. Now, when he went into Kodesh Kodashim, the Beit HaMikdash was totally empty. Nobody was allowed to be there, which meant he could have done anything he wanted. But he swore. Well, if that had been a regular oath of a regular Torah observant Jew, he could say, I'm not bound by that oath. They made me take it. I didn't do it of my own free will. I told you probably a number of times over the years that while my father was munching on the Afikomen one Pesach, after having promised all of us, me and my two brothers, that we would get whatever we asked for, a bicycle, a baseball glove, something else. Not one of us asked for a cell phone. I remember that vividly. So as he's eating the Afikoman, he said, by the way, promises made under duress are not binding. And he continued to eat his Afikoman, and we were really distressed. We were little kids, and we thought we wouldn't be getting our stuff, and my mother calmed us down. But that's something I'll always remember. So there are, and that's one issue. And the other issue is Nisuch HaMayim. Nisuch HaMayim is a Torah mitzvah that during the 7 days of Sukkot, in addition to wine being poured on the corner of the Mizbeach during certain korbanot, water is poured on that corner as well. In fact, it was constructed with two holes to drain wine and oil separately into the underground part of the Beit HaMikdash. And there is no text in the written word for that. So the Tzedokim didn't have it. And the Mishnah tells us that a Tzedoki Kohen Gadol refused to do that mitzvah, but he had to show that he was pouring water, so he poured it on his feet. This is a Mishnah. And the people in the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash who were witnessing this saw that he did not pour it on the corner, and they pelted him with their etrogim, because that's all they had, didn't have stones. And that led to something else. And there are a number of cases. Anyway, I'm getting off. I'm spending too much time on that fact. One category of mitzvah, a mitzvot that have no text and written word, but are mitzvot. The second category, and the prime example there is Shabbat, is a mountain of material, 39 malachot, countless toladot, this rule, that rule, all kind of things. You look in the Gemara, Masechet Shabbat is 24 chapters, and Mishnah and Gemara, and so many topics tied to it. And text in the Torah is very skimpy. The Mishnah calls it a mountain hanging by a hair, or connected to the Torah by a hair. We would say a thread in English. You say it's, what's the expression? Not a mountain, or maybe,
Hanging by a thread.
yeah, hanging by a thread. And the third category, which is why I'm bringing this up, is mitzvot that have a tremendous amount of text in the written word, which is supplemented in the oral law and polishing and fine-tuning and tweaking so that we understand it completely. An example of that is from this week's Sedra of Tuma and Tahara and Nega'im and Tzora'at. It's unbelievable how much text there is on this and how much seeming repetition there is in the whole description of becoming tameh and then becoming tahor. Another topic that's spelled out tremendously is nazir. Nazir, the person who took a vow of nazirut, an average or the regular nazirut was 30-day period where he wouldn't drink any wine and wouldn't become tameh, and so on and so forth. Not only is it spelled out in the Torah, but it's counted as 10 different mitzvot out of 613, where Shabbat, which is much more than nazir and applies to everybody, has basically two mitzvot, a mitzvah taseh and a mitzvah lo taseh about malacha, and one about kiddush, whatever, but nothing like the detail in the written word of Nazir. Therefore, and here's my point, finally, the Nazir and the Metzora are usually troubled people. The person with Tzora'at obviously had certain lacking character traits and behavior modes that led to his contracting Tzora'at and Nega'im. The fact that he has to go show it to a Kohen and he can't hide it, and there's a whole long process spelled out of both the period of Tuma, which could be a week, 2 weeks, and then another week, and being isolated outside of the camp of Israel. I mean, that by itself, the fact that if a Kohen pronounces someone a Metzora, that person has to leave his home, pack a small bag with some clothes, I guess, and walk through the entire population in the Midbar or wherever he is in Yerushalayim. And he goes outside the boundaries of the city, or in the case of the Midbar, outside the camp. While he's going, he has to pronounce himself as being a Metzora. I am Tameh, and I have to be excluded. And during that period of isolation, he has to do a lot of serious thinking, introspection, and correct his ways. And he's helped by a Kohen who's not Stam a Kohen, but a Kohen who has perhaps a degree in social work or psychology. And the details and the different kind of negaim, a rash, a burn, a bald spot, anything else that could be a nega is spelled out, including nega of a beged, a garment. Not all garments, but certain garments made of wool, or linen, or leather. or a home, not all homes, only in Eretz Yisrael, and a house that's made of certain material can have tzara'at. But the question that Mefarshim present is, okay, you want to say there's such a thing as guy got a burn on his arm or a rash, and that makes him tameh if the Kohen declares that he is tameh? Why all the different ones? Why the detail about is it sunken from the skin or raised? Is it reddish or greenish? Is it something that in 1 week expands or stays together? Does the hair that grows in that area, did it change colors? Why so many different things? And the Mefarshim conclude, to the best of their ability, that you can't lump this person together with everyone else because everybody has his own different problems. And everyone needs to be helped along the path to character improvement and mitzvah improvement individually. And that is strengthened by the different types of Nagaim and the amount of text that we have in the Torah about it. And of course, the Kohen, or Kohanim, teams of expert Kohanim to be able to get this person through this period and is growing his hair and then his being shaved completely, including eyebrows. That always got me because the Torah mentions specifically Gabot Einav. I don't know about the eyelashes. Maybe they have to be removed also. And basically, he starts a new life. And a Nazir is the same thing. Nazirut is not a normal thing. Nazirut is most often attributed to a person who had certain temptations and couldn't resist them, usually in a sexual manner, but it could be other things also, that he needed this extra level of observance that are specifically to a Nazir, including having to bring a Korban Chatat, a sin offering, when he finishes. And of course, the Mefarshim, and some of you know this, ask, okay, if a Nazir drinks wine during his period of Nazirut when he's not supposed to, then obviously he needs a Korban Chatat, a sin offering. But if a Nazir takes a 1 month pledge of Nazirut and goes through it without becoming tameh, without drinking wine, without drinking, eating grapes or raisins or anything else the Torah says that a Nazir is not allowed to do, why, when he's finished, does he still have to bring a Korban Chatat? And the answer is taking this vow is considered a little sinful because a person is not supposed to need these things. You're tempted to do an Aveira. Overcome the temptation. Don't do it. But sometimes a person needed something, and the Torah, God, the Torah, goes towards that kind of person and helps him by these rules. And the fact that they're spelled out in the Torah carries that kind of message. I think that's a powerful idea, even though we don't have this today. And but we do have other things. We do have the fact that a person who has a problem can be helped. There are support groups, and there are counselors and psychologists that are trained in certain areas when a person wants to overcome. I mean, this doesn't have to be just a Jewish religious thing. This is Alcoholics Anonymous also for a person who can't resist the temptation of alcohol and drinking in excess. And the same thing with drugs and the same thing with other things. Smoking person. I mean, I've met people over the years who smoke who I've engaged in conversation and they say to me, look, I understand that. I believe what you're saying, that it's forbidden. I can't stop. So they need help. And there are organizations and groups that help them. But those are the ones that you have to focus some extra attention on because of how tempting these things are and addictive these things are. Okay, let's move on, unless you have comment or question. To Shabbat Rosh Chodesh. Shabbat Rosh Chodesh is not an unusual thing. It happens twice a year, sometimes three times a year. And there are 2 months that never have a Rosh Chodesh on the Shabbos. That could be, a trivia riddle to ask someone who thinks he knows the calendar. Kislev and Sivan. Rosh Chodesh could never fall on Shabbat. That Sivan's can't is one thing, but that Kislev, which can fall on any of the other 6 days of the week, can never fall on Shabbat is interesting. And Kislev often has 2 days Rosh Chodesh, not often, but sometimes, and Sivan doesn't. Anyway, that's not the point. Just to be aware of it. Now, what does it mean for us? Obviously, it means it's Rosh Chodesh. And it's Shabbat, and that means in benching you have Ritzeh and Yalav Yavo. In davening, Shachrit, you have regular Shabbos davening with Yalav Yavo and the Amidah. Same thing for Mincha, same thing for Arvit the night before. And Musaf has a different Musaf, main middle bracha, which you find in your Siddur under the line usually. To tell you what to say in davening when it's Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. But more than that, what I want to point out is that Shabbos Rosh Chodesh is, I think, more than Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh coming together. In other words, when you have Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, so obviously in a 7 day holiday, you're going to have a day that's Shabbat. Can't avoid that. But the difference between Tuesday Chol HaMoed, Wednesday Chol HaMoed, Thursday Chol HaMoed, Friday, and Shabbos Chol HaMoed, is just what day of the week it is. When it comes to Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh partner in a way that's very significant. And this Shabbat is an example to share this with other people at your Shabbos table. Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh are the two facets of Kedushat Zman, sanctity of time. Shabbat is the leader in sanctity of the time of the 6 days of the week. And that's repeated in the Torah, Sheshet Yomim Ta'avod V'Asita Kol Malachtecha U'Vayom Hashvi'i Shabbat L'Hashem Elokecha. One signal that Shabbat is the Kedushat Zman that controls or determines the week is the fact that its Korban Musaf is two lambs, when lambs are the daily, including Shabbat, but the daily Korbanot, one in the morning and one in the evening. Shabbat, one in the late afternoon, one in the morning, one in late afternoon, and two lambs for Musaf. Rosh Chodesh is in charge, so to speak, of the cycle of the holidays. As I've said many times, including recently, if it were not for the sanctification of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, there wouldn't be a Pesach. If there's no sanctification of Tishrei, there's no Rosh Hashanah, there's no Yom Kippur, and there's no Sukkot. And I don't think anybody here who's listening would say, oh, yay, let's not do that. But there might be other people who say that. And the Rosh Chodesh Musaf is a tip-off, because the Rosh Chodesh Musaf is two bulls, two parim, one ayil, and seven lambs, kvasim, and that's either identical to or very similar to the korbanot, musaf, of all of the holidays. Pesach was the same. Two bulls, one ram, and seven lambs, just like Rosh Chodesh, Pesach. Shavuot is a little different. Sukkot is a little different, or a lot different, but it's the same idea. In other words, Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh partner to the whole picture of Kedushat Zman. And the Haftorah of this Shabbat is not the Haftorah of Tazria and not the Haftorah of Metzora, but it's a special Haftorah of Shabbat Rosh Chodesh. And it doesn't always happen that way. There are months when the special Haftorah of the regular Haftorah of the week is preempted by Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and that gets preempted by Shkalim or HaChodesh
Hakodesh.
or Hanukkah. So you have the following. The last pasuk, which is the next to the last pasuk in the whole book of Yeshayahu, and it is repeated after we finish the Haftorah. The Kohol joins, and the person getting maftir repeats it. V'hoya midei chodesh b'chodesho u'midei shabbat b'shabbato. It happens every Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Chodesh, and every Shabbos from Shabbos to Shabbos. To Shabbat, Yavo kol basar lehishtachavot lifnai, Amar Hashem. That in the time of Mashiach, everyone will come to acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Beit HaMikdash, and they are most open and welcoming on Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh. So Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh are teamed. Now, if it were not Shabbat, there's a minhag to have a special meal for Rosh Chodesh. On Shabbat, that's not very practical because you already have three meals on Shabbat. So there are some people who will have an extra washing and hamotzi and lechem mishnah and have another meal. But more often, you get yourself between now, Wednesday, tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, a special thing for dessert, a nice container of par of ice cream to have at the end of the meal, or a nice cake, a piece of cake, a muffin, a donut. No offense to Hanukkah, but donuts work also, and or a special extra dish. Usually you have gefilte fish. And now you have a fillet that you spent more time making in a frying pan, whatever. We should honor Rosh Chodesh not only with our davening, but with some extra food as well, especially, specifically, that it is on Shabbat. I think that'll do it for today. So I wish you a Shabbat Shalom and a Chodesh Tov. And if you really want to stick a kid with a riddle, you say to him, what days of the month are can be Rosh Chodesh? And he'll say, if he knows, the first of the month and sometimes the 30th of the month. And that's what we have. Friday is the 30th of Nisan, Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos is the first of Iyar, Rosh Chodesh. Then you ask, and when can Rosh Chodesh be on the 15th? And they go, huh? Can't be on the 15th. And the answer is, this week it is. Because Shabbat, which is Rosh Chodesh Iyar, is on the 15th day of the Omer. So you have to be careful how you ask the riddle, because you have to say, not on the 15th of the month, can't be. But you say, when can Rosh Chodesh be on the 15th? So let me know next week how many kids fell for that one. That was one of our favorites in the old days.
Cute. Thank you, Phil. Shabbat shalom. Chodesh tov.
To you too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil.